John chapter 5 and verses 16 to 47. Yes, it is a long passage, but I'm going to be very brief on it, but I want to bring you the leading points. Now, the heading I've given for this discourse is Face Christ's Claims. You note the imperative. Face Christ's claims. He makes a staggering list of claims here in this statement. And he confronts the Jews with these claims about himself. And I feel that I should do the same. I should take these words and seek to confront you with these claims of Christ. Now, I've been honest and open and upfront with you. That's what I intend to do. I know immediately this will put some of you off. But before you go, I want you to listen to two things. Before you switch off, the first is, I'm not at all surprised that some will not want to hear these claims. Jesus himself, in these claims, makes that very point. He tells the Jews, you won't believe me. You won't receive what I'm saying. You don't want to hear it. And I know that this is always the case. Unless the Spirit of God moves a man and gives him a new heart, he will always rebel against the claims of Christ, the person of Christ. This is the great sticking point. It's Christ himself. And these claims that he makes about himself are so staggering that many just will not yield to it, will not believe it. So if you switch off, I'm fully expecting that. But before you go, just one last thing. One of these claims makes this point. One day you will not be able to switch off. One day you will have to face Christ. You will hear his claims, not only about himself, but about you, yourself. He speaks here about the last day, the judgment, and you will have to appear before him. There is no escaping that. It is inevitable. You may turn off the machine now, and you may stop listening now, yes, but in that day you will have to appear before him and answer to him. Now, if you would just listen to me before you go, you'll be far wiser to face him now in the day of mercy and grace and love and kindness, now in the day of mercy, rather than put it off to that day when it's the day of judgment. This is the day of grace. Jesus said, I came into the world not to condemn the world. The Father sent me not to condemn the world. I am coming again to judge the world, but in my first coming and in the preaching of the gospel, it's not primarily to condemn, but that the world through me might be saved, he says. Now here is the day of grace. Here is the gospel. I urge you to listen to these claims of Christ, and more than listen to them, that's why I put it in the imperative, face them and respond to them. Who is this man? Listen to the claims of Christ. Well, this is what the Jews have to do here. This is what Christ is doing. He's facing the Jews. He's confronting them. Let me be very brief upon this long passage. It's one of the most concentrated passages in all the Bible. It starts like this. Jesus cures a man at the pool, Bethesda, and he does it on the Sabbath. Now, this is a deliberate provocation. It happens many times in the Gospels. Jesus provokes the Jews by this action, and they rise to it, and they hate the fact that he's cured this man on the Sabbath. And this starts a row and a contention and a confrontation, and Jesus confronts them in return. And he makes these series of claims. Now, I'm only going to be very brief. You can check this passage as I speak now. You can look at the verses. Sometimes he repeats what he says in another form in this section. But he's making the claim over and over again, this long series of claims. You can check as I speak, but you can also check afterwards and read these verses again over, and you will see the notes are there. Well, what are these claims? First, he claims that he is equal with God. He makes this very clear. You'll find this in the early verses, verses 17, 18, and so on. He was calling God his Father, he making himself equal with God. The Jews knew that, they felt it, and they hated it. But here it is. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God manifest in the flesh. What a staggering claim. That is the first claim. He is not a mere man. He is a man. He is a real man. But he is God himself manifest in the flesh. When he was the babe in the manger, when he was the fetus in the virgin's womb, he was and is forever God. Even now in glory, when he was on the cross, in the grave, he is God manifest in the flesh. Secondly, he and the Father are one. Another staggering claim. What the Father does, I do. What the Father says, I says. The Father and I are one, he says. You must face this claim. This man is God manifest in the flesh. He is equal with God. He is one with his Father. When you have seen him, you have seen the Father. I have many scriptures in other parts of the Word of God, many passages which verify all these claims, which support these claims. They don't need verification. They are the words of Christ. But here they are being made to these Jews. This is raising their hackles. They don't want this. They're not going to listen to it. They don't want to hear it. They don't believe that this man is the Son of God, that he is God manifest in the flesh, that he is one with the Father. But this is the claim that he is making. Thirdly, he claims, if you read the passage, you will see, he makes the claim that he and he alone gives life. What does he mean by that? Physical life, spiritual life, and eternal life. This is the claim he's making. He has life in himself, and he gives life. Now, my friend, take you, take myself, take me. There is the biological side, yes, we all know about that, okay. But the real source of life is the Son of God. He gives life and light to every man that comes into the world. Physical life, you owe it to Christ. Your physical life. Oh, I know the secondary causes and all the rest of it, but the real cause is Christ. He gives life. And until Christ regenerates, and it's only Christ who can regenerate, we are dead in sins, but Christ is the one who has the power by his Spirit to give life. He talks about it here very clearly. I give life. I give the life which is spiritual. I give the new heart. I give the Spirit to men. I work upon men and regenerate them by my Spirit so that they repent and believe. You'll find that even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. You'll see it here in the passage. And of course, spiritual life leads to eternal life. Now, I know you have physical life, but have you got spiritual life? I know you've got physical life, you're listening to me now. But have you got spiritual life? Are you regenerate? Are you trusting the Savior? Are you receiving him, welcoming the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you believing and trusting in him? Then you have eternal life, and you will never perish. Christ alone has the power to give life. No other man or person or system can do it. Islam, Buddhism, evolutionary teaching, philosophies, atheism, whatever you want to list, nothing. Only Christ gives life. And this is the claim he's making in these passages. Again, another claim is Christ makes here is that he is absolutely sovereign. It is his will. I just read it to you. Even so, the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. He has authority. You see that again in verse 27. Authority. He has this power, this authority in himself. He is the sovereign. Then again, you'll see here he is the judge of all men. I mentioned that at the very beginning. You'll find it here in this passage, very clearly stated, more than once. He is coming back to the world. He will raise the dead, and every man, woman, and child will have to stand before Christ. There is no exception. He is the judge. He will judge all men. He will judge me. He will judge you. And those who have switched off because they don't want to hear it, those who can't abide this kind of talk, they too will have to face him. They're not going to face him now, they think. They can run away from him now. They can hide from him now. They can turn their back upon him now. But in that day he will summons them, and the dead shall arise, and they shall be among it. And they shall stand before Christ, the judge of all. As I've said, he is sovereign. And he demands also that he must be honored as the Father is honored. You must honor Christ as much as you honor the Father. It's not Muhammad or Buddha. It's Christ and Christ alone. Some may say, well, I honor God. Unless you honor the Lord Jesus Christ, he is very clear here. All may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Verse 23. That's a staggering claim, is it not? Face it, my friend. Do you honor the Son? Do you respect him? Do you worship him? Do you trust him? Do you obey him? Do you love him? Do you honor him? Do you exalt him? Do you worship him? If the answer is no, God commands you to, and he will hold you to account for it if you do not. I know I'm confronting you deliberately. I said so at the beginning. I'm confronting myself, but I'm confronting you with these things. Again, eternal life is bound up with Christ, and only with Christ. Not Muhammad, not a Buddha, nothing and no one else. Only Christ. In Christ alone is eternal life, is here. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. It's hearing Christ, it's hearing his gospel, it's hearing his invitation, it's hearing his command to repent and believe, it's hearing his call to come unto him, and not only hearing it, believing it. But not only believing in the sense of assenting to it, is responding to it and yielding to it and receiving him. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the authority to be called the children of God. You will honor the Son one day. Philippians 2, verse 9, I think it is. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's in that day of judgment. Do it now in the day of grace. In that day it will be for Christ's exaltation and in your judgment. But now it is for Christ's exaltation in your salvation. Oh, will you not respond to him now and acknowledge him to be the Son of God, God himself, manifest in the flesh, the life giver, the judge of all, the sovereign one who has all authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Christ honored and exalted, and knowing eternal life is in him, in hearing him, believing him, in trusting him, his merit, his blood, his righteousness, receiving him. Again, he makes this claim. The moment you believe, he says, you have eternal life. You have crossed over from death to life. Or as Colossians 1 speaks of it, we have been transferred, translated out of one realm, the realm of darkness, into the realm and kingdom of Christ of light. On believing, you have eternal life. That's the claim. Oh, prove it, my friend. Taste and see. You will find that you have eternal life by trusting the Son of God. By yielding to Christ, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved immediately, now, with full assurance. Again, these verses teach, Christ is claiming to the Jews, I am coming back again. Of course, he was crucified in weakness on the cross, in abject misery. He was buried. But he rose again. He ascended into glory. But he is coming back again to usher in the final judgment. I said this at the very beginning. The dead will have to rise out from the graves by his command. He will command them to rise, and they will rise, and all will appear before Christ. I tell you the truth. The time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Now come in the gospel, they will hear the voice of regenerating power and saving mercy. But that day as well will come when those who hear will live now. That's everlasting life. But then, they do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those, and so on, who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Our works will be judged. We're not saved because of our works, but we should be judged upon our works. We're saved through hearing and receiving and believing and trusting on Christ, but that will immediately follow in a life of works to the glory of Christ, not for salvation, but out of salvation and because of salvation and gratitude for salvation. Again, Christ has all authority. As I've said, God has given him authority to judge. He has power over all, and he will reign and rule. Again, Christ always pleases the Father. My judgment is, my claim is that I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. I please the Father in all things. Everything is perfect in Christ. And Christ has sufficient testimonies, he tells, to verify, to confirm these statements and claims. If you look at the end here, he says very clearly, you've got Moses, you've got the law, you've got the scriptures. These are the scriptures, they testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me. The unbeliever will not come, and yet the scriptures are clear. The law, the prophets, if you read the passage, you'll find that John the Baptist is his testimony. You'll find that Christ's miracles are his testimony. His words are his testimony. The Spirit, the Father himself, remember at his baptism, this is my well-beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my Son. Hear him. The transfiguration and so on. The law speaks of him. The prophets speak of him. Luke 24 is very clear. In all the scriptures, Christ is. The evidence is overwhelming. The testimonies of believers too speaks to you. These are the claims of Christ. And then finally, as I said at the beginning, Christ is clear. You refuse to come to me to have life. You don't believe Moses, you don't believe the scriptures, you won't accept this testimony. This is true of so many, and therefore you will not receive me. And therefore not receiving Christ, rejecting Christ, turning the back upon Christ, what does this mean? It means you will perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But men prefer darkness rather than light. As I said, I could give many scriptures. Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, John 3, John 1, and so on and so on. But my point is just to simply give you these claims of Christ, that he is equal with God, one with the Father. He alone gives life, physical, spiritual, eternal. That he is the judge of all men, including you. That Christ is sovereign, has all authority. He must be honored and exalted, even as God is. Eternal life is entirely and only bound up in Christ, hearing and believing and receiving him. And on believing, you have eternal life. Christ is coming again. He will usher in the final judgment for all men. Christ has all that authority and power. And he has sufficient testimonies to vindicate to us these claims. And yet, many men reject this Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I just not put these claims to you, presenting them to you. I said at the beginning, I'm putting them towards you and to you in order to confront you with them. I'm doing this because Christ did it. I wanted to bring you to the place where you make a response, and a response you must make. Of course, you can say, well, I'm not going to bother, I'll put it off. Then that is a response, and I say again, you will have to face him in that final judgment, and you won't be able to put it off there. I urge you again, respond now in the day of mercy. Christ is giving these claims here, and I'm preaching this and trying to declare this. What for? For mercy's sake, for your good, your everlasting good, your everlasting life. That's the reason. It's not merely to state a series of facts, nor even to condemn you, but that you might be saved if you're not saved. So don't put it off. Certainly don't reject it. If you reject Christ, you're rejecting the only Savior. Oh, don't do that. What is the right response? To as many as received him. Oh, welcome him. That's the meaning of the word. Open your heart and your mind and your soul to Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Receive him as God, Lord, Judge, Savior, Sovereign. Believe and trust him. Rely upon him and you have everlasting life. You will have to face him in judgment. But all your sins were nailed to his cross. He bore them and you will bear them no more. You have eternal life. You have passed over from death to life. It's instantaneous. Oh yes, there's a life to live after. But you will be saved not because of your works, nor even because of your believing, as it were. Not on the merit of that, not at all. On the merit of Christ alone, but receive him, I urge you. I know many reject him. The overwhelming majority reject him or ignore him. The Jews did. They crucified him. But some did believe, and some are still believing. Maybe. Will you be? I hope you will. I pray you will. Be among that number. What? Who will hear these claims and bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And with Thomas, not simply say that he is Lord, but my Lord. And my God. My Savior. My King. My Redeemer. All my hope is founded on Christ. Oh, receive him, I urge you. Face Christ's claims. Respond. And the right response is, Lord Jesus, I receive you in all your claims, and I bow the knee. I receive you now. I open my heart. I trust you. I receive you in them, and may your merit and blood and righteousness be applied to me. And it will be. It will be. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And there is salvation. Christ himself said so. If you have been listening to this and you're a believer, will you pray that others may hear it and hear of Christ and receive him? Some are bound in Islam. Some are bound in atheism. Some are bound in false religion of one kind or another. All kinds of corrupt sects. All kinds of religions. It's not religion. It's Christ. Will you pray that many may hear and believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ in all his claims? Here is salvation. It is found in no other. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Christ. No man comes to the Father but by me. But all who do trust him are immediately saved. Oh, may many come to know Christ through this confrontation, this meeting with Christ in John chapter 5, verse 16 to 47. Amen.